Please be seated. I have always enjoyed reading newspapers. But today, you can get not just your local newspaper, but on the internet, you can read what is written in papers from all over the world. I like that. When I get up in the morning, I throw some water on my face, say my first prayers, press my button on my coffee machine, and I like to sit at my desk, sipping my coffee, and reading not just what you can get in the Peoria paper or the Chicago paper, but papers from London, England. The news, they have a different slant on it. They have news we don't get in the States, and I like that. Last week there was a story about someone in England who was a working man, and he put a couple of, they call their money pounds over there, into the European lottery. That's where you put in a little money, but millions and millions of people put it in. Your chances of winning are almost nothing, but somebody has to win. And he won. He won something like, in our money, $250 million. There's two things about it I found amazing. One is, he said he didn't need all that money, so he was going to give away, oh, most of it, to charity, to worthy causes. He was going to keep a couple million for himself, but he said that's all he needed. Who can't live on a couple million dollars? But the other side of it that was so touching, it really was a story of rags to riches, of being very, very poor and suddenly becoming very, very rich. That's always a fascinating story. It might be somebody who studies real hard in school. They work real hard, they get into a good high school, they get a scholarship for college, and they go perhaps from being relatively poor to being a doctor or a lawyer or all sorts of things, going from being little to being great. What we celebrate on Ascension is the greatest success story that ever happened. There is nothing like the going from rags to riches that we know in other ways in life that compares to what we celebrate today. Remember, the human race was in trouble. We were bound by sin. We were condemned to death. We faced just a short time in this earth without any possibility of all the things we'd hoped for. But God cared. So he sent his only Son into the world. Without ever losing his divinity, the fact that he was God's Son, he entered into all the poverty, all the weakness of our humanity. He was like us in all things but sin. He could get hungry. He could be cold. When he was sad, he cried. He even died on the cross. He loved you and me so much. But of course, his love was so great, he rose from the grave. But here comes the incredible success story for our human race. On Ascension Day, Jesus ascended, went up to the right hand of his Father, and he brought with him our humanity. We all know, you all studied before communion, God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity. But now, forever, a part of that Godhead in Jesus Christ is our humanity. Forever, without end now, part of our human story is actually a part of God's story. It is incredible, it is wonderful to know that we have a part of us, forever a part of God. And the apostles were sad when Jesus ascended into heaven. He said, don't be sad. This is a good thing. But he didn't leave us alone. He not only ascended into heaven in a certain way, He came down in a fuller way into the sacraments. We are not without Jesus. Every time you come to Holy Communion, not just your first Holy Communion, you can be going to Holy Communion as long as Monsignor Prendergast. That's about 1 million years, I think. But every time you come to Holy Communion, Jesus, our Redeemer, the Son of God, is in our hearts. We're close to Him. He's close to us. We can tell Him when we're happy. We can tell Him when we're sad. We can ask His help when we need it. We can simply enjoy His company because He is so good a friend. That's why we make such a big deal in our church about First Holy Communion. But you know, it's not just a blessing for you, it's a blessing for all of us. When I look at you, so filled with faith, so filled with devotion, so filled with love for Jesus Christ, it kind of puts my heart on fire again. It reminds me of everything I believe. It encourages me to live the life of faith in Jesus, not just in the cathedral, but outside its doors, every day by everything I say and do. You know, not in this cathedral today, but there are, sadly to say, parents that neglect their children. Not every child gets a decent meal, not because they're poor, but there are some, not many, but a few bad parents who maybe are so absorbed in their own lives, they don't worry about feeding and clothing their children. And the police find out about it, they come and get them. And they tell them, you must do that. It's important not only for your own family, but for our whole world, that children be fed and cared for and nourished. But even more important than the food that fills our belly is for all of us to be in communion with the Lord. A lot of you kids, I don't think many of you drive yet. So if you come to Mass, it's got to be because your parents bring you. And it might not be the regular police who are watching, but the angels of God are always watching. Your guardian angel that God gave you when you were born is watching over to see if mom and dad, if the priests and deacons and bishop are all helping you to receive that bread of life that you will need all your lives long. Do you see God face to face forever and ever in heaven? So let all of us rejoice in the first communion of these young Catholic believers. Let all of us give thanks to God for the great movement from rags to riches in our human nature, being a part forever of the Trinity. But let all of us at this Mass promise God that we will keep the faith of these young believers alive and will support it. And until they're driving cars and driving you crazy with worry and they can go to Mass by themselves, there'll never be a Sunday where they are not able to come to that table and be fed by Jesus Christ.